Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Get back to your calls on a busy, giant day. Brian Daboll out as head coach. Joe Shane is sticking around. We'll mix in some Jets because Joe B. will join us in his weekly spot at 4 o'clock. And, of course, talk to you throughout the day at 888-808-1019. But one of the decisions that was made yesterday, I guess you could put this at the feet of both Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, was the decision to have Russell Wilson as the backup quarterback. I didn't like it.
I think Russell Wilson's washed.
By the way, you nailed that one, Teague. Let me give you some credit. Because that Russell Wilson is washed. He is clearly washed. But that's not the reason. Once you knew there was snow in the forecast, Jameis Winston needs to play. And if you don't remember, here's why Jameis Winston needed to play when there was snow in the forecast.
I'm so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather.
And they chose not to allow him to get that blessing again.
That's hilarious.
How do you do that?
I feared that moment, and it happened in this game against the Bears when Jackson Dart was not able to play because you knew he was going to get banged up at some point.
We talked about it Friday.
He just takes too many hits. Yeah. And Schmelk and I were talking about this on the post game. There's a way you go through contact to protect yourself. One is by getting small. And, you know, tightening your exposure area and, you know, kind of ducking into or away from contact. You see the really good quarterbacks do this. Jalen Hurts does it all the time. Jackson Dart runs tall and proud. Like, hit me. I'm good. Take me out. And when he got that, I guess it was a concussion on that last run where he fumbled because he hit the ground hard. I don't think it was on the initial hit. I think it was when he hit the ground. The defensive lineman like basically landed on him and his head got thrust into the ground. He played a couple more plays, but then Russell Wilson comes in and immediately you know that this offense is not going to be able to function because so much of what they were doing, think about the Theo Johnson seam routes, think about the Darius Slayton, you know, those dig routes coming across the middle of the field. Russell Wilson can't throw those passes. He can't, and he hasn't been able to do it for a decade. It's all outbreaking stuff. It's deep balls, but none of that prescribed crosser, deep route, seams, he doesn't throw those very well. And so you knew that the offense was dead in the water.
I think that when they made the decision to bench him and go with Jackson Dart, Russell Wilson retired without retiring. That's the sense I get because every time he's come on the field since, when Jackson Dart ends up in a medical tent or gets ruled out yesterday, he literally looks like a football player that had already retired. Which is, look, something I wouldn't have guessed. I mean, once Russell Wilson probably said privately, I'd like to stick around, and they didn't cut him or trade him, I figured, all right, he still wants the quarterback. Get that opportunity. Pull a Quincy Williams. You know, get a new opportunity. Show everyone how good you are. Who knows? Maybe end up somewhere else. He looks like a guy that's like, I'm done.
Yeah, there's no fire. There's no fire there.
No.
You don't see it. He's scared. He immediately is looking at the rush. He's not thinking about where this ball and drop back passes has to go through. And this is an opportunity, to be honest with you, for the New York Giants to cut bait.
100%.
There's no tie in it. There's no, well, he's our backup for Jackson Dart because Jackson Dart needs a veteran to develop and he's got this history and blah. All that goes out the door. Any narrative that you talked about at the beginning of the season means absolutely nothing at this point in the season. His salary is a sunk cost. Eat it and move on. And if Jackson Dart is banged up, let Jameis Winston be your backup quarterback.
And he's going to be the backup quarterback next year anyway.
Exactly. So get a head start on it. Jameis is interesting because he will sling the ball around. He can throw it across the middle of the field. He will. He'll throw some interceptions. But trust me, peeps, we're going to be entertained if Jameis Winston's playing football. Russell Wilson is not entertaining you.
No, he's actually doing the complete opposite.
Right.
You're right. This is an opportunity to make that decision right. But, man, they could have given him that blessing of playing in the snow again. And instead, we got whatever we watched in the fourth quarter. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Jason in Montgomery, New York. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's going on, Evan and Tiki? How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing pretty good. First of all, I was at that Jet game yesterday. Awesome win. But I'll get back to the Dayball thing. So, Evan, doesn't this sort of remind you of now? This is a way to make Giant fans feel better. But the Todd Bowles, Mike McCagan duo, how they fired Bowles and then they kept McCagan. So don't you think that's the safe scenario? Like if the Giants were to hold on to Shane. Now, the only thing I'll say that would make Giant fans feel better, I don't think they would let Shane run the draft and then fire him like they did, like the Jets did with McCagan. But
right. That's the real side of dysfunction. I don't think the Giants will do that necessarily, but... Yeah, I honestly didn't think of the Todd Bowles, Mike McCagnan thing. I just thought of squarely, do I feel comfortable with Joe Shane continuing his job as general manager? And my answer is no, I would just do a clean break. Now, you bring up a point that we don't factor in, and it is worth factoring in, which is when you fire a general manager, you're blowing the whole thing up. And I understand that. And that's deep-seated in an organization where you're looking at potentially new scouts and you're hiring a whole bunch of new people. I think this would be the opportunity to do so because when Sean and Lugie had a very entertaining but interesting debate about who's done a worse job, Joe Shane or Brian Daboll, my ultimate answer was both have failed over 4 years.
Right.
And if both have failed over 4 years, despite the negatives of having to redo the entire front office, I would rather just go clean slate and start anew.
Yeah, but I think there's too much progress that has started from a roster standpoint. Is this roster great? By no means is it close to being great because there's depth issues everywhere. But there are certain pieces that you are excited about. Brian Burns, the trade for and re-signing was genius because he's been fantastic. I think the Jackson Dart draft, fantastic. Even if that was Dave's, it is what it is. I think when you think about how he's managed some of that front, despite the Dexter Lawrence situation, which is it's dicey because we alluded to this last week, and I don't know if it's gotten any farther, but it feels like he wants a new contract. I don't know if he's asking for one, but it feels like he wants one because as soon as he signed his, he got outpaced significantly by a lot of other people. And so whatever that was that happened this offseason, it's affecting him right now because your offseason, when you're 350 pounds, your offseason matters more than anything you're going to do in the regular season. And Dex didn't have a good enough one. And I think you're seeing some of the results of that. It's starting to get better. He was really good in the first couple drives yesterday. But I think Joe Shane has made some really good decisions, but has also left some massive holes that the Giants have yet to fill.
I assume that Tommy is very happy today. Because I was thinking back to that Lugash debate series where you defended Joe Shane. Your boy keeps his job. Daboll's out. So I want to say congratulations, Tommy. It must be a good day for you.
I think the Giants absolutely made the right decision today. Brian Daboll needed to be let go. Joe Shane needed to keep his job. I think the Giants' issues is not a personnel issue. I think it is coaching. They have the roster. I'll give you two or three players away. But I'd rather have the foundation they have here with their personnel over what they had at the coaching.
So does that mean you expect wins now with Mike Kafka as an upgrade?
No, because I don't think Mike Kafka is an upgrade.
Gotcha.
I want an adult in the room. Uh-huh. I want Mike McCarthy to be the head coach. I could even
live with... Well, you're not hiring Mike McCarthy in the middle of the
season. No, but I think... Kafka's here to just, if he runs the table, Teak, I think he keeps the job. But anything else than that, I think he's just a stand-in here. He might even go back to being the OC because he has a close relationship with Dart. I don't see Mike Kafka as the next head coach of the Giants. I think that'd be a mistake.
Yeah, I'm more interested to know whether or not he's calling.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Plays or not. That's the first thing you got to ask.
That's going to be a question that's asked as soon as he meets the media, which I think is Wednesday would be
correct.
The day. We'll answer questions. The way I view the Kafka situation is when Steve Spagnuolo took over, or even last year, I'm already forgetting the dude's name who took over for Robert Saleh. What was it? Ulbrich.
Jeff Ulbrich.
It just popped into my head. When Jeff Ulbrich and Steve Spagnuolo both took over, they had zero shot, in my opinion, to retain the job.
Right.
0.0. None. In Spags's case, adult in the room, been here for a long time. Hey, just keep things moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. When Ulbrich took over, it was just because Woody Johnson was clueless, right? I think in the case of Kafka, he's got a shot. Hmm. Now, I don't think it's a great shot. I think he legitimately has a shot to keep this job. I think if they win games, and that is going to be a major challenge because we've talked about all year, this schedule is brutal. They're about to play Green Bay, Detroit, New England before the bye. Are they winning any of those three games? But if somehow they do, and the offense looks functional, and they're not blowing games in the fourth quarter, and let's say they've got 7 games left. So when I say winning games, let's say they go 3-4 or 4-3. I think he's strongly considered. I really do. I think there's a chance that he could keep this job. I thought those other two guys, in the case of Steve Spagnuolo and Jeff Ulbrich, no opportunity whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Kafka has gotten some head coaching interviews over the last couple of years, and so it's not an out of this world suggestion that he could potentially, you know, keep this job. But I think too much has to happen, and a lot of it is likely to happen without Jackson Dart.
That's a big issue. I will admit that.
He's not playing this week. If he's in concussion.
No shot he plays this week.
It doesn't work that way. It's almost set up to prevent guys from playing who get concussions in the weekend game before. And so it's going to be hard for him to clear concussion protocol. So what are you doing at quarterback? And if it's Russell Wilson, trust me, you're not putting on a good impression.
No, no. So here's the way I view it. They're not winning the next three games. And it probably even makes sense to give this kid time to recover. Because as Ozzie and Woodridge, and I hate to give him credit, but I will give Ozzie credit. If you missed Friday's show, he called up like 4:30, 5 o'clock and cited all the different times he believed that Jackson Dart suffered a concussion, including the more recent example in that last game against San Francisco. You looked at the tape and you're like, I think you're right, Ozzie. So it was interesting to point that out, how injured this kid probably is. So I think looking at the next 4 weeks, these three games plus the bye, and saying, dude, recover, is the smartest thing to do. And if he does, and he comes back for the last 4 weeks against the Vikings and the Commanders and the Raiders and the Cowboys, and he's Jackson Dart, and they win three or four out of those games, and they go on a run, I think the discussion in January may be slightly different. Now, I don't think the Giant fan base would love it. I don't think they'd be pining for it, but I think the nature of his resume, his age, his respect around the league, his familiarity with Joe Shane, I think absolutely gives him a puncher's chance. Right. Well, doesn't mean he's a favorite, but I think more so than those other guys, he's got a real shot if there's anything impressive over these final 8 weeks, seven games, where he could work his way into this discussion.
Yeah, we'll see how he coaches game one first.
Yeah, and who's the quarterback?
I don't know.
Because you're right.
It better be Jameis.
It's not going to be Jackson Dart. You are 1,000% right. He's not getting out of concussion protocol in a week. And by the way, even if he cleared it, I would probably be extra cautious and say, kid, you're sitting. But you're right.
So taking a lot of hits over the last 4 weeks.
100%.
A lot.
And then you wonder, especially when it comes to play calling, look, a lot of the hits Jackson Dart takes, and you could certainly go over it with the tape, it's a combination of factors.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is him. Some of it is just bad luck. And some of it is they run a lot of design plays for him.
Of course.
They've run the most designed plays for Jackson Dart than any other quarterback in the league. Does Kafka, especially if he's calling plays, which is the first question you're going to ask him, do they cut down on that? Do they say, hey, we're going to change it just a tad?
Well, it's a weapon you have to use because they don't run the ball consistently enough with their regular run scheme with Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary. So they have to utilize the extra skill position player in Jackson Dart. The problem is Jackson Dart needs to learn how to take hits. And it comes with experience. You can't just teach that. You can't just say, hey, on a practice field on a Wednesday, we're going to practice how you take a hit, Jackson Dart. You don't have time to do that. You kind of have to learn how to take those hits and not put yourself in harm's way. And I don't know if there's anybody there that specifically knows how to tell him how to take a hit. You know what I mean?
So how do you learn it then?
You have to learn it from people who have taken hits.
Right, but if no one, so I guess, how does he learn it then? If there's no one there who can help him, where is he learning it?
You learn.
Going on YouTube?
No, you just learn. It's one of those things that's hard to explain.
Right.
And it's not like someone can teach you. But if I was trying to teach you, and I did this with John Schmelk on our post game, when you feel contact, and that's really what it is, because it's the instinct to feel contact, and that takes a lot of awareness about what the hell is happening around you. And this is not Jackson Dart as a quarterback. That's completely different. But when Jackson Dart becomes a runner, you have to learn to feel contact, whether that's keeping your eyes on a swivel, moving in a direction, but anticipating where someone's going to come from. And as soon as that you feel that contact, you have to get small. I always tell people, like, what do you mean get small? For me, it was wrapping. Ball was always high and tight. It was wrapping my other hand in, pulling my shoulders together, putting my head forward, so if I got knocked backwards, I was not going to bang my head on the floor, on the ground, right? So it's getting small, moving your body weight forward, and then leaning into contact as opposed to taking the contact. You know what I mean? It lessens the blow when you address contact as opposed to letting it hit you. And on Jackson Dart's fumble, and by the way, this happened because I mentioned this earlier, Wandell Robinson, for whatever reason, is running an out route, right? So everybody else, whether it was Theo Johnson, Darius Slayton, I forgot who the other wide receiver was on the other side. It was whoever it was, doesn't matter. Everybody else is stalk blocking. So ball snap, they run the zone read, fakes it to Tyrone Tracy, keeps it. You get the double pullers coming out the left side. Everybody's stalk blocking, every wide receiver except for Wandell Robinson, who runs an out route. Just like, I'm running an out route. And then he turns around. And he's like, oh, crap. I need to block that guy. That's the guy who comes in and hits Jackson Dart from the left side. The ball goes up in the air. Now he's in a compromised position because he's trying to catch the ball. A defensive lineman hits him from behind. He falls on him, and he whatever happens. I don't know if that's when he got the concussion, but it was a turnover that affected the game. So when I talk about like details, that's a little thing. Does it matter that Wanda Robinson didn't stalk block and he ran an out route trying to get that guy? Like, yeah, sure. But if he blocks that guy, Jackson Dart might score. I mean, I'm being honest. He might slip through the other defenders and score. Right. But he gets hit and he scrambles up for the ball. And the next thing you know, he's headed towards being out of the game in a series.
Well, that little detail is pretty freaking big.
But those things matter. Yeah. And this is what this team doesn't do well. And it pisses me off watching it. Because like on a play, you have a job. Every play. I don't care if you're the clear out route on a dagger. Like you have a job. Do it. And if you don't do it, something bad is likely going to happen. And this Giants team has too many of those things occurring over and over and over and over again. And so while we'll sit here and we'll talk about, oh man, you know, they just didn't win enough. That's why Dave gets fired. No, he didn't. He got fired ultimately because there's not enough accountability for stuff like that, right? And if the details don't matter, then why the hell are you doing it? That's why I get frustrated watching the Giants, is because it's not big things. It's like little things.
Well, that small detail that you explained has impacted like five different things at the same time.
Absolutely.
It impacted the result of the football game, which is the most obvious. It also eventually impacted the health of Jackson Dart.
Exactly.
Where we sit here today on November 10th, we have no idea when this guy's going to play again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would it stun anybody if we don't see him again this season? It shouldn't. We're talking about a head injury.
It depends on how the severity, because we don't know.
No, but that's my point. Like, right. We don't know doesn't mean I'm predicting it. I have no idea. It's a head injury.
And by the way, this was a game the Giants, at that point, still could have won.
Absolutely.
They still could have won that game. So for Jackson Dart not to be in it, it wasn't like, oh, this game's a blowout. I need to protect my health. I'm going to go in a locker room. The Giants needed Jackson Dart to keep playing in that game in order to win that game.
Yeah, what was interesting, and I don't know the answer. I don't think any of us truly know the answer. I'll take Brian Daboll at his word, was why he entered the game again.
Yeah.
Then the break between the third and fourth quarter happens, and they see something,
right,
or someone sees something to say he's not right.
Yeah.
Was that Jackson himself? Was that Dabes himself looking into his eyes saying,
after the game, post-game, Dabes said he saw something not right, and then he asked Ronnie to come over and then get evaluated. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Lou in West Harrison. What's up, Lou?
What's up, Lou?
Fellas, what's going on? Yeah. Hey, real quick, want to set the record straight. Evan, we know each other. I'm the man who has gone ahead and flipped Max from the bus stop over to the Giant fandom. So when you wonder who's influencing these kids to
how
Big Blue
dare
for a brighter
you?
Future.
And Lou,
I'm the guy.
Let me sell this to the audience. My neighbor, who is a big Jets fan, his son, he lost his son to Giant fandom, even went as Cam Scataboo for Halloween. I ask you this, Lou, knowing the coach is fired, knowing the Jets have a better record, how do you feel now about flipping an innocent 5-year-old to Giant fandom when right now being a Giant fan may be worse than being a Jet fan?
I refer to it as he moved on to a better place. And that's because no matter what ineptitude we have with the coaching staff and with the front office, we have Jackson Dart. And I will give Brian Daboll his flowers because he did everything to make sure that that was the pick. He deserves that. However, he made the one mortal sin happen, and that was being irresponsible with the Golden Boy. He could not get Jackson Dart injured. Chances are he was a dead man walking. It would have been much more clean if we could wait till the end of the season.
Right.
However, that's not what it is. This was good action, right? Here's the one thing I don't want to hear as we go through this cycle. The stuff with Shane and him being likely being retained, I don't love it, right? I want the clean slate. But what I really don't want to get caught up in is the names like McCarthy, guys like Gruden. I don't want to get caught with these guys who the game has passed them by. It's evolved. Yes, there might not be guys directly from McVay, but there's plenty of young talent out there. And who isn't going to be attracted to this job with Cam Scataboo, Jackson Dart, Malik Nabers, Abdul Carter? It is just, I am so bright on the future for this team, and I know that we set up Max for a successful tenure.
I can't believe it. That's the guy who somehow converted my neighbor's son from Jet fandom to Giant fandom. And it still breaks. By the way, I was worried last night because I took my son to Nets Knicks, and I was worried, could that be a watershed moment for him?
What was his reaction to that bludgeoning?
Why are we so bad, Dad? Why are they so much better than us?
And the Nets still in the league.
I said, well, they're better for now.
All right, what was the final? I stopped at the third quarter where they had 120-something points.
132-98?
Swag nut Nets.
Something like that.
Wow.
But I didn't lose them. Though it's funny, when I was leaving the arena, a father, and I don't know if he recognized me or just saw my Nets stuff, he said, this is a tough night to retain the fandom of my daughter. And he was leaving with his daughter, and I'm like, I know. It's a rough, rough night. You know, it's funny. There are things about the Giants you look at that as a fan would make you say, we do have a good future. We have a quarterback. We have a franchise left tackle who's been relatively healthy this season. We have a guy in Abdul Carter who hasn't had the monster season you expected. Some of it is bad luck. I mean, he did have a sack wiped away yesterday.
True. He's also a rookie.
He's a rookie. Like, I see how you can look at the roster and have excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I think the concern is, you got to get the right head coach. And you also have a general manager hiring him who right now, even if you would agree with the Giant decision to keep him or you don't have a track record to believe he's going to find the right guy.
Yeah.
And so when our last caller says, I don't want to hear Mike McCarthy, I don't want to hear John Gruden, and I'm not saying he's wrong, but understand those are at least guys that have done it. When you hire that first-time coordinator, as hot as they may be, like Brian Daboll was, it doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't. Because you don't know what his success is going to be like. And that's not even, and it's not a knock on Dave. It's just the reality of guys who have never been a head coach before. Sometimes it works out. But I'm trying to think of the guys that it worked out from that were coordinators or in the system for a while. Dan Campbell is the one I keep coming back to. But he specifically was trying to learn how to be a head coach. That's why he took the jobs that he took. One was Sean Payton, who we knew from his days with the Giants, and he groomed him up to being what he ultimately became as head coach. What are these young...
Kyle Shanahan was
Shanahan,
that.
But Shanahan's different, man. Shanahan was... He's a coach's kid.
Okay.
And he was in that Washington lab underneath his dad, and it just became like, I don't know, all those guys were good.
Right. McVay was under that.
Right, they were all destined to be, but my point is, that doesn't exist anymore, right? There's no, hey, we're creating this new offense, the changing of the guard or the changing of the schemes that the NFL runs. It's all happening, and it's happening right here in Washington with RG3 and this ridiculous staff when you go look at it. Where is that happening anymore? It's nowhere. Yeah. And so you're not going to go find one. And I know that's the mantra. That's the idea. Let's go find this young up-and-comer, this guy who is innovative and is different and blah, blah, blah. That doesn't exist any longer.
Can I give you a potential one based off Kyle Shanahan? What about what Clint Kubiak's doing with Seattle? Son of a coach.
Yeah, he's interesting. Maybe. I mean,
I'm just trying to find like that guy who hasn't been a head coach, but you mentioned Shanahan coming from a fall, you know, would have that in the bloodline. He's doing a hell of a job out there with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, but so much of that is the offense. It's the scheme. Like the Washington, whatever, I guess it's a quad now.
Yeah.
Those guys, it was scheme. Like they're all running the same variations of different things, and then they've spilled guys off of it. Kevin O'Connell is one of them. Who is in Minnesota right now, and then his offensive coordinator is Gus Phillips, or wait, what's his name? I forget what his OC is there.
But Wes Phillips.
Wes Phillips, right? Wes Phillips. He could be a guy because he's from the McVay tree. You just have no idea. Cliff Kingsbury, but that's turning into a disaster in Washington right now. So I have no idea who I even would even recommend or want to. As the next Giant.
I was going to ask you, what day, because it's too soon to do it today, what day do we have to make our endorsements on the next head coach of the New York Giants? And I feel like it's such an early in the process thing, I may have to give you guys a couple of days, maybe a week. Would you like a week, Tiki? Is a week enough time for you to have a full formulation?
No, I need like a month.
A month?
Right. I have no idea.
No, I know. This is why the early stages of this is so challenging. You know, I think back to when the Jets fired Robert Saleh, and we all knew Jeff Ulbrich wasn't going to be the guy. Aaron Glenn was a name that popped up early just because of his connection.
Right.
Because of the connection of the Jets and the obvious success of the Detroit Lions. But as I sit here today, in the hours after Brian Daboll's been fired, like, I don't think there's anything that jumps out at us.
Right.
But we will have full-fledged endorsements soon. When we come back, more of your reaction to the decision to move on from Brian Daboll and keep Joe Shane. Joe Beningo will join us coming up at 4 o'clock on the Jet Victory. And we'll talk to you at 888-808-1019. A quick minute and a half on the Jets, if you guys don't mind. And then we'll get back to the big giant day of Brian Daboll being removed as head coach and Joe Shane remaining on as general manager. I was really impressed and fired up by yesterday's Jets victory, and I will give you a few reasons why. Number one, after they traded Sauce Gardner and after they traded Quinnen Williams, it was possible. It was possible that this was going to be an ugly, ugly effort. Mm. Anytime you take two key defensive players and you trade them away, I don't care what your messaging is. Forget how I felt about it or Beningo felt about it or you felt about it. I don't know how the players were going to feel about it. And they responded. And Aaron Glenn deserves credit for that, because it could have easily gone ugly, especially when they were down 7-0 and they had two dopey penalties that extended the Cleveland second drive. But they made winning plays. They made winning plays, especially on special teams. Obviously, the kick return for a touchdown, the punt return for a touchdown. They ran the football incredibly well, especially to just end the football game the way they did with Breece Hall on the ground. Their defense made big plays, even though, God forbid, they force a turnover. I thought that was impressive. I think that matters, because it wasn't,
matters, but.
But. Gonna kill my buzz now, Tiki.
Who's starting the quarterback for you next week?
Actually, do you really want to know? Do you want to know?
Go ahead.
Well,
Breece Hall?
Aaron Glenn, you're doing your Monday morning press conference. I assume you have something to say about the quarterback position. So, Aaron, do you mind if I ask you a question about the position?
Like, oh, I would say this. Please don't ask me anything about the quarterback, because you know I'm not going to tell you, and I don't want to waste my time when it comes to that. When it comes to who's starting. So, any other questions?
What? We need to know. We need to know, Aaron.
You know what? Here's the beautiful thing about winning. I don't care. I do not care.
Right.
They've won two in a row. They finally won a game out of the bye week.
And they won a game where they didn't play particularly well.
Not at all.
On offense. They played great on defense. At least Will McDonald was great on defense.
And they ran the football
And
well.
They ran the football when it mattered. Not early, because they only ran, 18 plays in the first half.
No, dude, it was the end of the game when they took the air out of the world. Basically, right. After Justin Fields, I think his last pass play was the screen pass to Breece. After that, it was basically we're running the football for the rest of the game.
Is that right?
Yes. Let's see.
Hold on.
Breece Hall screen. Let's see. Run for 30.
He only threw it 11 times.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 13 consecutive plays.
Wow.
After the Breece Hall screen touchdown, in which they ran the ball. Every time.
Right. Well, it's good when you can do that.
Yes.
When you just have, when you can say, we're going to run the ball. You know that you know that I know that you know that we know that I know we know everybody knows that we're running the ball and you still do it.
I don't even know if you know that's a Friends reference, but that's okay. The
yes,
other
of
thing,
course.
The other thing I'm looking for as a Jet fan, I'm not delusion that they're going to go run the table and go make the playoffs. Is who's helping me win games? Will McDonald is helping me win games.
Right.
Cool. My offensive line, which is young, is opening up holes for good. I want to see the guys that are going to be a part of the solution contribute to the winning right now. So I know how flawed Cleveland is. I especially enjoyed the fact that the Browns pulled the Jets to end the game by committing a couple of just absolutely brutal penalties. The defensive hold on 3rd and 17. I almost fell out of my chair laughing. And obviously the neutral zone infraction on 4th and 4, which everyone knew the Jets were not snapping the ball. The Browns pulled the Jets.
That would have been malpractice to snap the ball. Seriously.
And they weren't.
Of course they weren't.
And so the malpractice was the fact that the Cleveland Browns got fooled by it.
Mm-hmm.
So I know the Browns stink. I know they're not going on a run, the Jets, and winning every game. But I think winning matters. I think it matters to what they're building, to the culture they're trying to build. And I think that Aaron Glenn is trying to work on a turnaround. He got off to a terrible start. There were many Jet fans who wanted this man fired. I think he is quieting those calls right now, and I want to keep winning. I'm fired up for Thursday. I want to kick that Patriots ass. I don't expect to, but I'd like to.
Pats are good.
I know they are. But I'm going to give you a little warning, and I really don't care. No offense if Sean says it. I really don't care. I don't care if Tommy says it. I know you don't have to say it, so don't worry. But do not, if you're a Jet fan, come at me with, this is bad. We need to lose games.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Shut up. Shut up. We're not. Nope. We're halfway through the season. There isn't a game left. There isn't two games left. Winning matters.
Right.
And I hope that you look at the Giants and all the losing they've done the last 3 years and understand that winning matters, even if in the moment you don't think it matters.
Right. But even with this last win, you still have the worst record in football.
No, we don't. Tennessee's got the worst record in football, and the Giants have a worse record.
Tennessee? What are they?
Yeah, Tennessee's only got one win.
You're 2-8. I'm 2-7. We don't even have the worst record in our own stadium.
Yeah, but I forgot about Tennessee.
And still.
They're bad.
Yeah, and please, we're rooting for Jet wins. We'd love nothing more than to take your first-round picks in a trade-off.
I love how you quickly pivoted to, I want them to win so I can take your picks. That's fine. Winning matters. Yeah, I really hope that Giant fans look at this way as well. Because I think that when we just, and you tried to warn everybody, I give you credit, you can't just lose games and then expect to flush it.
Right.
That's not the way it works.
It lingers.
It lingers, and guys become losers, essentially.
Maybe it matters for the coach. I mean,
I think it matters for the players.
It matters for the organization. So think about all the losing that this Giants team has done.
Thank you.
And how it affects those guys that are still here. And so it takes a couple of bad quarters, and all of a sudden you're wrapped into, we suck, we're losing anyways. It is what it is. The reason that becomes a problematic is that when a new staff comes in, they may have been good players, but you have to replace them because their mind is wrong, their attitude is wrong, and it's obvious.
I think it becomes very easy as a podcast host to just say, Lewis, because I want a better draft pick. But I think when you continue to lose, it's a disease that's tough to just pass. And all you got to do is look at the football team you watch. All they do is find ways to lose in historic fashion. And I really believe that the losing of the last few years has contributed to that.
Look, and I understand this is two new head coaches one we know is a good program builder. One maybe ends up being a good program builder. But it seems like right now, Chicago and New England figured out how to win with guys who were losing a lot in those locker rooms. So, I mean, did losing matter for that locker room, for both of those locker rooms? They're both winning teams this year that are on their way to the playoffs.
Well, first of all, New England is very young. Very young. Chicago is also very young. And Chicago is kind of doing it with smoke and mirrors. I'm just telling you.
Completely agree with you about
Chicago. Go look at their schedule.
They're not
any good. And then come back and say, they've won some good games. And this is what it is. The schedule was favorable.
And I would, again, look at your own team. Look at the New York Giants. They have done something almost historic this season. It actually is, in the way they have found ways to lose games. And I think you got to ask yourself a question, because there's no way to prove this one way or the other. You got to ask yourself a question. Do you think all the losing over the last couple of years contributes to not knowing how to win? And I would just say, again, neither of us can prove our point.
Right. It's a good point, though.
Thank you, Tiki. I think it does. That's my point to you.
I agree, but what...
You do agree? Okay,
No. But what is that... Like, once the losing is done and permeated through November and December, what does losing even more have to do with changing it? That's the only argument I've always pushed
back
on.
Well, I look at the Lions, and I hated when Aaron Glenn used it as a comp, but I think they are the best team to look at. They started to win. Started to win even in Dan Campbell's first year when they began 0-10-1. They started to win. And then the following year, they won a little bit more.
Same with the 49ers, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's a great tip.
That's the one you look at, because it took a while to figure out to make that team, which hadn't been, they weren't horrible. They weren't three win horrible, but they weren't good. And then they stunk for 9 weeks and then finished the season 6-10. And then they've made the postseason every year since, basically.
I would ask you, T, because I know that Jet fans are going to eventually argue this. Joe won't, by the way, at 4 o'clock, because I know Joe's on the good side of this. If I told you right now the Jets are going to finish this season in 7-10, what would you say? Would you say that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I'd say it's a great thing.
You think it's a great thing? Okay. Even though that means they're dropping out of the top five, and maybe even dropping out of the top 10.
Who cares?
Thank you.
Draft picks don't excite me anymore. They used to, but they don't anymore.
I think winning excites me.
Right.
And winning can lead to more winning and more winning, and I'm just afraid losing leads to more losing. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid the reason why the Giants are such losers is that you lost a lot the last
couple of
years.
Giants had a spark going, and it ended when Scadaboo got hurt. Like, they were building towards something. I think if they were healthy
they were still losing.
They were losing.
No, but they had won. They had beaten the Chargers. They had beaten the Eagles.
Right. They lost to the Saints, who are one of the worst teams in football. Then they lost to the Denver Broncos despite having a ridiculous lead in the fourth quarter with 8 minutes to go. They just don't know how to win.
They don't know how to win. And using excuses of injuries, like every team has injuries, yeah, man. Like, I think you got to learn how to win.
Tyrone Tracy's a good running back. I know Scat was your energy, but Tyrone Tracy was a good running back last year.
And doing something that we could applaud, playing clearly through injury still with the shoulder, right, which I love.
No doubt. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Connor in Goshen. Hey, Connor.
Hey, guys. I just want to discuss, just two things. Like, I'm more angry about this organization by not, yeah, we understand about Brian Daboll. You know, he's done a bad job as a coach. You know, losing kept on going. But Joe Shane is more than anything else, you know, the problem of this team. He picked Evan Neal. He has picked Jalin Hyatt. And what are they? They're sitting on the bench, not even contributing. And for us to think that it's okay, as Giants fans, that he's allowed to pick a new coach, I just don't get it. But also going with that, if we're you know, looking at a new coach,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
What do you guys think about Dan Landing from Oregon?
I mean, college coaches have very little success transitioning to the NFL. I'm trying to think of the ones that have done it effectively. Cliff Kingsbury might be the best recent example.
And I don't count a guy like Jim Harbaugh as a college coach because he's an NFL coach who went to college.
Or Pete Carroll.
He was a college coach first because he was at San Diego and then Stanford and then went to San Francisco and then went to Michigan and then came back to the NFL.
Maybe it's because he was like an NFL player.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it's my own biases.
He doesn't fit the bill.
I don't count them. Yeah.
Well, there's a respect that comes with him being an NFL player, and not a horrible one either. That just tells you, as a player, if he becomes your coach and he's only coached in college. Oh yeah, I remember Jim Harbaugh. I know what you're all about. I got this. I believe you. I trust you. Plus, he's also a very odd dude. But in an awesome way.
Yeah.
Because you're not threatened by him.
He may have solved the Chargers charging. He yes. may have been the one to finally solve it.
Right.
Let's go to Ken in Floral Park. Good afternoon, Ken.
Hey, guys. Great show. I called early, but I got disconnected, so a lot of my thunder has been stolen, but I'll repeat it. Evan, I agree with you 100%. I'm very disappointed that Joe Shane stuck around, because isn't he co-author of the 20-40-1 record? I mean, kind of feel that way. The one thing that I was, when I called earlier, that I really, Tiki, they may not be available, but I know Pat Shurmur had already coaching experience, but right. I sincerely, at the bottom of my heart, I'm on my knees, that if John Mara, Steve Tisch, and Joe Shane, if there's somebody out there that's had coaching experience with success, I know Flores can't do it because of the issue they had, but if there is somebody, I'm really hoping that they go with that as a priority, because this first-time coordinator, I know some first-timers work out, but I sincerely feel that they have to try to at least prioritize and try to get somebody that's had some success in the past. Peterson's not a bad one. I know he crashed in Jacksonville, but I've wanted that for so long, and I just that's what I'm hoping. And they might not be available, Tiki. I don't know.
I don't know who is available that fits that bill. I don't know who's available that fits that bill that we would actually want and or trust. And so this becomes a hard discussion. Like, and it's one I can't even start to think about yet. But I know where people are coming from.
I think naturally we always pivot to, okay, now who should we hire?
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough. Like, my gut feeling, my guttural first reaction, and it doesn't mean I'm going to feel this way in a month or even in a week, but my first reaction was a name that we've already heard mentioned. I think Tommy brought it up. I would just hire Mike McCarthy. I think Mike McCarthy is a really good head coach. I wanted him numerous times for the Jets, so you know I'm not being a hypocrite. And we talked about this late last week. He led the Dallas Cowboys to 12 win seasons over and over again.
Right.
And, like, that's the problem we want. We want to have a problem where the Giants are winning 11 games and then Mike McCarthy's doing something dumb in January. Like, when we get there and we start yelling about that, that's when we know we made it. And so I'm going to give it more thought, like we all are. But my first reaction hours after Brian Daboll's been fired is that the guy I would hire personally is Mike McCarthy.
I don't hate that endorsement, but I think this whole exercise and what we've done in the 2 hours we've been on the air is kind of the elephant in the room to firing Brian Daboll. Last year, we sat here in November, and we knew, even if it was a foregone conclusion with New England, that Mike Vrabel was out there, that Ben Johnson was this hot commodity. I think what we're sitting here with in mid-November, and yes, card subject to changes, there is a very uninspiring, unexciting list of available head coaches that are going to be available this offseason. And hopefully we're wrong, but this feels like a bad year to be in the need of a head coach. And that's where the Giants now find themselves.
I do remind you this. First of all, WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. You should never fire your head coach because of what's available.
I agree.
You should fire your head coach because you've deemed that he's not the right guy for the job.
I want to make it clear. That's, I agree with you.
But I agree with you that right now, and it is still November, so a lot can change. I've told you before, I think this ends for Mike Tomlin. Now, Tiki brought up a good point earlier that I cannot argue, which is, if I'm right that the Steelers miss the playoffs, it's a disaster, and the family and Tomlin decide, you know what, it's been a long enough run, let's break up mutually, we'll put out a nice press release, thank you for your time. You mentioned earlier, okay, Ev, you got that right. He probably wants to spend a few years away from football. You're probably right. Like, if I just spent 19 years coaching the Steelers.
Or go on the TV and do something less hectic.
You're right. Like, that's probably the biggest fear about a guy like Mike Tomlin, because I'd live on the beach for 2 years or make a lot of money on TV where I know he'd be wildly entertaining. So I don't even know if that breakup happens, if he'll truly be available. But in terms of the hot coordinator, you're kind of right, and I don't know the reason why. Like, you look around at the teams in the NFL that are having success, usually, oh, that OC is the hottest candidate, you got to hire him. And there doesn't seem to feel like there's that same list we normally
it's
have.
It's just it's the ones that we've known and we've mentioned already. Cliff Kingsbury, Clint Kubiak, who actually was in the head coaching conversation last year, but he fell off really quickly. And I don't know if that's a warning sign or just maybe an inexperienced thing.
Wasn't ready at the time, maybe.
Maybe, but he's also from the Shanahan tree. Kafka, obviously, because he's interim here. And then Jesse Minter is the one that keeps coming up, who's a defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Chargers. But I can't get over the fact that 2 years ago, he was the defensive coordinator for the Michigan Wolverines. And so now, 3 years removed from winning a national championship, he's going to come be the head coach of an NFL team? I mean, maybe, but I don't know if I buy that.
Let's go to Bill in Lindenhurst. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Listen, you guys have covered really almost all my points, so I only have really two things to say. Listen, they may be keeping Shane, but he's not going to be the one making the decision. He's going to put a list together for Mara and Tisch, and these guys, along with some input from Shane, are going to make the decision. So let's not sit here and think Joe Shane is going to be the be-all, end-all to make the decision on who the next Giant head coach is.
Well, hold on.
Still around.
I am going to openly speculate, and Tiki can tell me if I'm right or wrong, or if you would agree with, because you may not know, definitely know the answer, but I'm going to tell you my educated prediction on this, or educated belief on this, and you could tell me, you may be right, or right. Evan, you're an idiot, you don't know. I accept Evan, you're an idiot very well. John Mara's sick right now, and we all feel for him. I wonder how hands-on he will be on a search like this. And
I think very.
Okay, so I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Because my gut would be, no, Joe Shane really is going to make the decision.
John doesn't travel, but he's at every home game, and he goes to work every day.
So you think John Mara and Mr. Tisch will look at the list that Joe Shane has?
Oh, yeah.
As a group, decide who the coach is?
Yeah.
Is that how that would work?
They'll come to a consensus, and ultimately John will make the decision. Absolutely.
All right, so that caller's right. My gut was it's actually going to just be Joe Shane.
No.
That ownership is probably going to say, you know what, Joe, just make the call.
No chance in hell.
So this is where you insert, Evan, you're an idiot.
I won't say you're an idiot. Okay. I'm just saying no chance.
Evan, nice educated guess. You're wrong. Mm-hmm. All right, so there you go. Let's go to Chris in Tinton Falls. What's up, Chris?
What's happening, man?
All's good.
Yo.
Guys, look, you know, I was critical of Brian Daboll. I'm bummed for him right now. But the one guy who cannot get off easy here is Joe Shane. I mean, look, Tiki, you brought it up earlier about winning culture.
Mm-hmm.
2022, they go to the playoff. This guy was quick to gut players on that team that were winners, and not great players, but John Feliciano,
right.
Julian Love, guys who were core players, moved on. Then we talked about his draft. Let's look at that second draft class. I mean, K-Banks doesn't see the field. John Michael Schmidt's a decent player. And then Jalen Hyatt, that's a waste. Evan Neal, he boasts about his young talent. I think he's bereft of talent.
Right.
Last year's class, people love. I think Neighbors home run. He starts on any team. I don't know if any of the other guys are big-time players. Drew Phillips, I like. He's a tackler. He's not a good cover guy. Tyrone Tracy's good, but lest we forget, he signed Devin Singletary to $5.5 million a year for 3 years to be a backup, and this is a guy who doesn't value running backs.
Right.
Joe Shane has been negligent. I don't think he's done a good job.
Well,
he does not deserve to come back.
It's interesting. I haven't thought about looking at the Giants roster and say who would start on somebody else's team. There's a couple that would. Andrew Thomas would, obviously. He wasn't his draft pick. Brian Burns would. He brought him here via trade, so I guess that one, Jackson Dart would, Cam Scattergoo probably would. It's not a lot, to be honest with you. And it's not really the starters that you're worried about with Joe Shane. It's the depth pieces. They just haven't produced. They haven't been good enough by any stretch of the calculation here.
I do want to go to this caller because all day long, starting at the end of BT and Sal show and our show, every caller has been universally agreeing with the decision to move on from Brian Daboll. Gio in Howell, New Jersey, thinks firing Brian Daboll was a terrible idea. Gio, the floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, I think it was terrible, man. Honestly, I mean, you look what the man did his first year, make the playoffs with a roster that, you know, belonged to another general manager, so you see what he can do with some talent. You know, with a guy that knows what he's doing, you fired the wrong guy today. I agree with the previous call you just had on. Got drafted a bunch of busts. A few players have been good, but he's gotten rid of more players that turned into all pros than we got on the roster now.
Yeah.
But moving on, because it is what it is at this point, man, I'm being honest. You go get a guy with this quarterback, it's got to be Kingsbury. Honestly, man, I mean, he failed in Arizona because he just couldn't do it with that quarterback. But you get him. Hopefully, Watson lets him interview. If they don't send some picks that way, man, I'm not. I don't want to see another Giants terrible season.
year after year, because it's going to go into another rebuild if that happens with a new coach. You know what it is,
right.
Picky.
No doubt.
New guy comes in. He's got to reset his guys.
Yeah, Gio, you don't want to get a guy who doesn't know how to be the head coach. And so you're learning on the job how to be a head coach. That will be even more frustrating because you'll want to give him grace. You'll want to give him time. But it's like, dude, I'm tired. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of giving someone time to figure it out. Cliff Kingsbury is very interesting. It is not going well this year down there in Washington. But given the injury issues with Jaden Daniels, you wonder if it's not the same thing.
I wouldn't be scared off by Cliff Kingsbury. I think the mistake that we make with coordinators that we're promoting is getting caught too much into what they're doing as a coordinator. I'm hiring them to be a head coach.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about keeping your quarterback healthy.
What do you mean? You think Cliff Kingsbury wouldn't be able to do that? Or you think he would dial up enough plays in which he wouldn't?
Jaden Daniels isn't healthy.
That's true. So you'd be worried about that aspect of it.
Isn't that what we're talking about regarding Jackson Dart?
Do you think they have to change the way they call plays around them?
You certainly have to, because Jaden Daniels has been hurt twice this year already, right? And in two different things. One was a hamstring injury, or I think it was actually a knee, even though it was reported hamstring, and then he dislocated his elbow playing in a game he had no business being in.
Mm.
So it's an issue. Like, when you have a skilled quarterback who can be a skill position player, a runner, a scrambler, you have to account for how you're using him, because you're going to have to calculate how much damage he's taking by being a runner as well.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.